Well, I have something for them. I actually prepared a small message for our graduates. I'm just going to tell you the quiet part out loud. It's not really for the graduates, but it's for them. This is also for you. You know, as they graduate and they go off, I think Sue was talking about, you're going to learn a lot of stuff. I remember when I went off, some of the things I learned is, one of the first things I learned is, for a short time, you can eat whatever you want. But it's not long after that before you have to start being careful what you eat, and your body will tell you about that. You can't live on the dollar burgers at Carl's Jr., no matter how much you think you can. Some of the other things you'll learn is like how to pay bills on time, even. That's important. I didn't think so for a while, but the people who wanted me to give them money did think it was important. You're going to learn about classes. You'll learn in classes, and some of those classes, if anyone in here has gone to college, you'll be sitting in there and go, why am I learning this? Never once am I going to use how to operate a pool. True story, I was in a class that was teaching me how to build and operate a pool. I'm never going to learn. I'm never going to need to know this information. But you'll be in classes that will potentially, you'll be sitting there and going, I really don't need to know this. But there's one thing that I hope is not new information, and I know you too, so I know it's not. But the one thing that you'll learn that will serve you well your entire life is who Christ is and what that means for you. There's an old scripture. I say old scripture. It's a common scripture to go to. You see it written on like athletes' feet. You see it on signs at sports games. You'll see guys will throw this out like it's no big deal. And we get to this point where it's just like we gloss over it, the scripture that we gloss over. But the reason it's been used so much is because what the scripture is saying. In John 3:16, it says that for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son so that whoever believed in him would not die, but have eternal life. And then 17 says he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he came into the world to save them through him. I don't know if there's anything you'll ever learn that's more important than that. There's a lot of things you'll learn that will serve you well in life, like eating healthy and paying your bills on time. Not the pool. That's not going to help. But that serves you on this side of eternity. And it's a brief time. It goes by really quick. Really quick. There's this scripture in Matthew 7 that says there's two roads. There's a wide road that leads to destruction that many travel, and there's this narrow road that few find, and it leads to life. And what Jesus is getting at is that there's a lot of the world that is barreling down this wide road of destruction. And to get on this narrow road, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. It takes faith. There's even at one point where Jesus says it takes even that of a mustard seed. So as you're going off to college, you're going to learn a lot of different things. I just want to remind you about that and continue to learn about that, what it means for you and what it means for those around you. But I want to turn a corner with this message and share something else with you. And I've got a different way I want to do this. Most of you know what this is. It's red, white, and blue. We're patriotic. It's a football. In my hands, it's not worth a whole lot. A couple bucks. You could probably buy one at Walmart for like $10, and I can pretend to throw a good pass to my son. But in the hands of someone like, I hate to use Patrick Mahomes, but right now he's kind of the best quarterback there is. But in the hands of Patrick Mahomes, it's worth something. If you don't know who Patrick Mahomes is, he's quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's worth something like a couple hundred million. It's worth a lot more than when I'm holding it, right? I also have a basketball. Again, in my hands, it's worth a bunch of sweat on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning where I pretend to play basketball. And don't ever come watch because you'll see just how bad I am. But in my hands, it's really not worth much. This is a nicer basketball. You could get it for like 80 bucks. If you're curious. In my hands, that's about all it's worth. But in the hands of someone like, the hands of someone like Michael Jordan, it's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. My hands is not worth all that much. Now, the best sport there is. Baseball bat, right? In my hands, it's worth frustration and some coaching, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. This drill is called your... Okay, anyway, so this bat in my hands, bats get pretty expensive nowadays. I wish they were like the old days where you just got a big hunk of wood and swung it like Babe Ruth. But this thing can be worth upwards of like $500, $600, $700. A little bit more expensive, and that's about all it's worth in my hands. But in the hands of someone like, we're in Mariners territory, and I'm a Mariners fan. So in the hands of someone like Julio Rodriguez, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. My hands is not worth all that much. It's important to know whose hands you're in, isn't it? Those things aren't worth anything if I'm holding it. But someone who is a master with them, they're worth a lot more. There's this scripture I want to share with Luke and Megan, and all of you can overhear this. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 7 says this. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand. You know, I can grab a piece of clay and it's not going to be worth a whole lot. It'll probably remain a piece of clay. But in the hands of a master potter, it becomes so much more than that. When he's talking to him, he says, go down to the house, go down to the potter's house. Go down to the potter's house. And that's, he's talking to these people, the house of Israel. That's his people. In the Old Testament, that's the way he would talk to those who believed in him. In the New Testament, you're adopted in because of the sacrifice that the Son made. So you, through faith, are what he's talking about. You are a part of this family. So he's talking to his people and he's telling them, go down to the potter's house. And there I will give you my message. Jeremiah couldn't hear the message until he went to just the right place. Jeremiah couldn't hear him until he went where he would find the Lord. Now, here's the amazing thing. In the Old Testament, there was a place for God's presence. There was a location for it, often referred to as Zion, you know, this physical location, but also a symbol for the presence of the Lord. In the New Testament, things changed a little bit. Christ gave his life on the cross, and with that, he said, remain, I'll give you my helper. And he, at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and it says, the scripture continues to tell us that through faith, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go to a specific location. You don't have to go somewhere to hear the Lord, but I think your heart does. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with who Christ is. That's going to be difficult as you continue to grow, as you continue to get older. But when you are, that's when you'll hear the Lord. That's when you'll hear the message he has for you. And it says, so I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. Marred means something that's imperfect, that is broken, that is, imagine a lump of clay that is got some strange form to it. And this potter continues to work on it until he forms a pot out of it. He takes what is broken and turns it into something of use. I don't know if there's anything that I need to be reminded of more than that. As a lump of clay, that is you and I, as a lump of clay, I can't form myself. I can't work on myself and turn myself into this pot, but in the master potter's hand, he is working and he is forming you. I love how it ends because he declares it again. He shaped it as it seemed best for him, which is another good indication. We hear in the New Testament that he has good works in store for you. And he'll prepare you for that. He'll equip you for that. But then he states the obvious again. O house of Israel, Megan and Luke, can I not do with you as this potter does? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand. As you go off, it's going to be easy to focus on these things that you have to do, and you'll get distracted, and life will throw you these curveballs, and you'll try to figure it out for yourself. If you're anything like me, I'm really good at grabbing the bull by the horns and saying, I can do this, and forget to remain as clay. Someone who is in the right place to hear from the Lord so that he can continue to work on me. Can I give you one other hint or one other tip? Not a hint. In the New Testament, there is a command that Jesus gives. He says the greatest command, and Paul refers to it as the law of Christ. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can read all through the New Testament, and the greatest command, the greatest thing we're going to hear is to love one another. Can I just give you just a little tip? If you're a lump of clay, don't be mad that the person next to you is not a perfect pot yet. They may have pointy ends. They may be formless in areas that's still being worked on. But we as people tend to forget that they're a lump of clay in process just like I am. We get mad at them so quickly for not being perfect when I'm still being worked on and you're still being worked on. If you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, remember that they're also a lump of clay being worked on by the master potter. Now, I got one last thing to share with you. Those of you who have been following Jesus for a while and are still being worked on, would you raise your hand? Do you guys see that? It's okay if you fall short. There's people in here that are, when you talk about their faith, it dwarfs mine. There's people in here that have been loving Jesus longer than I've been alive. And every hand in here went up. Continue to pursue Jesus. He's going to work on you. I don't know if it's ever going to end, and that's okay. So with that, can I just pray for them one more time? Would that be all right? And pray for all of you. I told you that was not necessarily for them. Father, we thank you again for Luke and Megan. I thank you that you are the master potter. We don't need to know the right way to do it. We don't need to know the techniques of forming clay. We don't need to know all that because you have said you will form us. It's our job to stay as malleable as clay of clay as possible, not to harden. Be in the right place with our hearts to hear from you, to continue to be formed by you. Father, I pray that as they go off to college, that it would be a blessed time, but that's what they remember. Father, would you work on us?